Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We're going to go into 7 weeks of unlimited life right now. How many excited about that? Three people, four people, five, six. It's there all the time anyway, but we're just gonna bring it into full view, and we're gonna really focus on it. Amen. We're not limited in any way. So it's the one picture there was I was in Jamaica. It had to be 15 years ago or more, but a long time ago. But that fella, I it was funny service because I went to this meeting. I was ministered at our national conference in Jamaica, and after the conference was over, I stayed behind to speak at a few churches, and I had one pastor say, "Can I take you to this other church in Kingston? This fellow's been having 7 weeks of revival, just wonderful things going on every week." And I told him I had a fiery preacher from Canada, and I asked if, you know, I could bring him, and he said, "Sure, bring him, let him minister on the Friday night." So when I got there on the Friday night, they took us back into the pastor's office, and I could tell back then I looked a lot younger than I do now, you know, didn't have gray in my beard or anything, but I could see that he was looking at me like, "Oh my goodness, this guy's preaching tonight. What have I done? I mean, this fellow's too young. He doesn't look like he's packing much." And I could tell, I could see that he was looking at me like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" And I said, how long do we stay back here?" He said, "Oh, I wait. They march us in. They take us in a little parade after worship." And I said, "Could I go enter into the worship now?" And he said, "Oh, why would you do that?" I went, "Oh, I'd just like to feel what's going on, you know, see what God's doing." And he said, "Oh, I guess so." But anyway, I went in, but then they called me out so I could proceed in with the rest of the pastors and stuff. And when I got in, they finally asked me a time to minister, and I got up, and I loved it because when I ministered, the guy played the organ while I preached. It was so good. I love that. It was a Hammond organ. The guy could play, and he'd go, "Jesus." He'd go, "Jesus." I just went, "Man, this is so good. I got to take this guy home." It was awesome. But it was good building the whole thing. I had a wonderful 5-point sermon, and I keep the fifth point. It's the biggest point, the climax of the sermon where God fills the room with his glory. Anyway, God showed up on point four. And the second row, like everybody in the second row just went, whoosh, and they just flew out of the row. And I said, I still got more to preach. And everybody's not paying attention now. They're all watching these people fly out of chairs. And then the second row on this side went, whoosh, and they went out of the chairs. I said, wait till I get to this point. It'll be so amazing. And I kept on trying to preach, but then I could see nobody's paying attention or listening. And that fella, he came up to the front. So I stopped preaching because the Holy Spirit said, "That's enough, Carl." Okay, so I finally got it. So I went, I laid hands on him. When I laid hands on him, he came up pretty stiff, and he was standing there. But when I laid hands on him, he went, and he just went bang. He hit the floor, and it was like, wow. I was like, ouch. And they weren't really good at catching, so he hit a cement floor pretty good. And I was like, oh, that's... So I just kept coming up. I was ministering to people, and the pastor all of a sudden behind me is going, "We got a man of God in the house tonight." I'm like, praise Jesus. Anyways, so I started praying for these people, just amazing stuff. But this guy, he started to get up on the floor, and he was rocking all around. And I went, what's going on with him? So I went over, we got him up, and he said, "Wow." He said, "I was in a gang fight years ago, and a guy came behind me with a brick and hit me across the back of my neck, and it wrecked nerve endings and everything in my neck, and my neck has been locked for like 10 years. I could not turn my neck at all." And he turned his head, and his head was going around. And everybody in the place, they all knew him. He's a part of the church. So they all freaked out, started exploding. And then the altars filled up, and man, did we have a meeting. It was some good stuff, some incredible miracles and things took place there. So when Sue was making up the pictures there, I thought I'd throw a few in. I wasn't trying to put myself on the same level as Reinhard Bonnke and Oral Roberts or anything. But you know what? As he is, so are we in this world. So you know what? Jesus esteems me better than himself. Because he said, "Greater work shall you do." Ha ha. Look, I want to go through some stuff pretty quick, all right? So believe it or not, I'm going to try and be about 20 minutes. Let's see what we can do. Are you ready? How many say, "I believe in miracles. I believe." All right, Psalm 78, 40 to 42. all the scriptures. Actually, the notes are actually already on the website right now. So if you got your device or whatever, you can download the notes right now. Just go to impactlondon.ca and you can download them and follow along, all right? Don't try to take notes with me. I gotta go. How often they provoked him in the wilderness. They grieved him in the desert. Yes. Again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One, hence unlimited, all right? They limited the Holy One. They limited God. Have you ever considered how can puny old me stop God? But you can. That's why, I mean, ask for rain while it's raining. You could sit in the most amazing downpouring of God ever, and you could miss it because you're just kind of had a bad week and feeling kind of ugly, and, you know, your wife yelled at you on the way to church, and she yelled because she tore three sets of pantyhose on the way. And you can miss a whole downpouring of God's glory because you're just like, yeah. Ask for rain while it's raining. See, they limited God. They got stuck in their circumstances. They got stuck in their senses. They got stuck in what they could see. It says they limited God. How did they limit him? They limited him. They did not remember his power. They did not remember the day he redeemed them from the enemy. Now, these are people who God wants you to live every moment. You're a miracle when you're born again. Being born again is a miracle. You couldn't do it. God himself, you're born from above. God himself causes you to become a new creation in Christ. It says, as you received him, so walk in him. The way you got in is the way you continue. Every single day of your life is supposed to be a miracle. An unexplainable, open heaven experience where God himself is interacting with your life. Where you live out of the very force of God. Where people have to say, what kind of man or woman is this? What are you shouting about? Well, I'm just trying to help you out. Don't limit God. The Amplified Bible says they remembered not seriously the miracles of his working of his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he wrought miracles in Egypt and his wonders, how they filled the field of Zoan. Now listen, this is because when they were about to enter into the promised land, instead of saying, that miraculous God who brought us out miraculously, he's going to bring us in miraculously, he's miraculously provided for us in the wilderness, we're going to live from glory to glory, miracle to miracle, gooder to gooder, better to better. But no, they forgot and they said, obstacles, too much, can't believe God. They limited God because they did not remember you were called to a powerful life. Please, grunt, throw something, do something. Hallelujah. I told you, I'm going to do it 20 minutes. All right. Judges 6, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. He says to Gideon, he says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Woo! I mean, Gideon's he's in a wine press trying to make a biscuit. Because he's terrified. He's in a wine press trying to make a biscuit. He's terrified. And all of a sudden, bam, you know, a theophany, a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus shows up and says, you're a mighty man of valor. I'm making a biscuit in a wine press and I'm a mighty man of valor. Woo! Here's what he said. He said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man. So Gideon responded and said, oh Lord, if you're with us, then why am I in a wine press trying to make a biscuit? Why am I in this miserable state? I mean, are you kidding me? You see, he said, if I'm a mighty man, here's this thing. Where are all the miracles? Where? Miracle. A miracle is a violation of natural law, a divine intervention into the ordinary course of nature. Miracle. Miracle. Oh, I'm good, just average. I just want to get by. You know, God's pretty good. I'm pretty satisfied with what he's given so far. You don't have enough to cause his dominion to fill the earth as it is right now. So you need more. Miracle. A believer's life is glory to glory, miracle to miracle. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Say all things. How many know what all things means? All things. It means you walk into a situation, you are packing. No matter what the situation, you are ready. Because all things are possible to him who has lived a perfect life. All things are possible to him that believes. So you walk into a situation, you feel disqualified. He qualified you. You could never qualify yourself. He qualified you. He's the one who said, you now have access. You can write checks out of the glory realm. You are ready. Whatever's in the glory, I want you to be my vehicle that brings heaven to earth. I want you to be a dispenser of glory everywhere you go. Hallelujah. All right. Your enthusiasm's killing me. Hold on. Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31. Grant to your servants that they with all boldness may speak your word. Say, speak your word. Now, they just got arrested, told, don't use the name, don't do that. They got beaten up and then sent on their way. But here's how they responded to that. They said, give us boldness to speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Then the whole place was shaken, and they were all filled again, filled afresh with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't it interesting how they completely connected speaking the word with the miraculous? There's a lot of places you hear the word, but you don't see any signs and evidence of the presence of God. For them, that would be completely wrong. As I said in that video you just saw, and you can send that, you can share that, send it to your friends, send it somewhere. Because how many know we're going to have some miracles in the next few weeks? You can have one right now. In fact, you can say, I can't wait for pastor anymore. I'll take mine now. Say, I receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the second row, it blew up. Looking forward to that, aren't you? Ha ha. Okay. That's good. Bill Johnson, he said, it's abnormal for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. How many have an appetite for the impossible? If you don't have an appetite for the impossible, it's abnormal. I know it's Bill Johnson. It's not like red letters in the Bible or anything. But Bill's a pretty current theologian. I would agree with him. I think it's wrong to not have a hunger and a thirst for more of God. And a hunger and thirst that the circumstances in your life bow to the name of Jesus. Wherever his kingdom is not in manifestation, I am in his kingdom. That means there is a king and he has a domain and he expects it to be in manifestation in my life. It's abnormal not to have a ridiculous appetite for the supernatural and overcoming the impossible to be present in your life. Amen. He says it's in your spiritual DNA to hunger for impossibilities around us to bow to the name of Jesus. F.F. Bruce, if you need somebody who's kind of more orthodox and, you know, so F.F. Bruce, here's a guy, a pretty conservative, you know, theologian. He said, while the miracles served as signs, they were not performed in order to be signs. They were as much a part and parcel of Jesus' ministry as was his preaching. See, you can't separate them. The miracles and the preaching, they were all vitally important. See, today we go, we hear the preached word, but we very rarely see a sign, a wonder, a demonstration. In fact, people, if they hear the preached word and then there's a sign and a wonder, they go, oh my God, woo, can't be good. In fact, the word says, if you hear the preaching and there's no demonstration, there's no sense of his presence, there's no expression of his glory, run. Something weird happened in that church. I don't know. I went in there. I felt stuff. I'll tell you, it wasn't good. If I'm not feeling stuff, it's not good. If I'm not being challenged, it's not good. If somehow the Spirit of God isn't moving on my life, somehow, if I walked out completely unchanged, I came in, I went out, nothing, there's something wrong. Either God's not in the house or I'm a brick. Let all the bricks say amen. All right. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might enjoy life and have it in abundance till it overflows. And that life is Zoe. It's divine life. It's the life of God. It's the eternal life. It's the supernatural life. It's not bios. It's Zoe. It's his life. His life raises dead stuff. His life causes things to multiply. His things cause things to increase. His thing takes the natural and causes it to be supernatural. His life is getting the super on your natural every day. Every day. You're starting to wake up. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. John 10:37-38. If I do the works of my Father, he said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. All right, we're going to preach today. We're going to minister, hallelujah, talk about the Almighty. Now, if no signs or miracles take place, don't take notes. Don't even care. Don't buy the tape. Don't buy any CDs. Throw it out. That's what he said. A lot of pressure, eh? Oh, my God. Pastor better heal somebody today. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. Believe the works. Believe the works. Believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John 14:11-12. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. The works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I go high five to the Holy Ghost. And he comes down with fire. And when he gets there, he goes, fire lands on everybody. Everybody baptized the same power I walked in. And then there's a whole community filling the earth with the glory. Then Jesus said, I esteem them better than me. In Jesus' picture of miraculous people, he's not even in there because he says, you guys are awesome. I did some stuff, but you guys are going to do greater works. Well, the greater works are TV and satellites. Greater works are that we'll have, you know, we'll see people reached in big ways. And the greater works are greater works. It's not greater sermons. It's not greater altar calls. It's greater miraculous demonstrations of the power of God. That is the only way you can exegetically look at this. Otherwise, you are using a hermeneutic filter that you've developed all by yourself. All right, thank you for that. All right, where was I? Most assuredly, I say to you, who believes in me will do greater works than go forth. John 15:22-24. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. You hear that? If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Now listen to this. If I had not done among them the works which no one else could do, they would have no sin. But now they have seen. Seen. See, the life of a believer is not just tell, it's also show. Too much is just tell. Let me tell you about Jesus. No, that's why it says, what would Jesus do? You don't have to wonder, what would he do? You can be hooked up with him and you can say, what is Jesus doing? W-I-J-D. We should make that up. We should coin that, send it around, don't you think? I mean, that W-W-J-D thing went a long ways. What about the W-I-J-D? What is Jesus doing? Because he's doing stuff right now. And he wants you to be so hooked up, just like he was. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. We now have been hooked up that we can see what the Father's doing. And Jesus, in and through us, wants to manifest the kingdom.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
All right, let's move on. He said, I've done those works. I had done those works. Let's go to John 20. John 20, 30, 31. And Jesus, truly Jesus, did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 21:25. And there are so many other things Jesus did, which if they were all written one by one, if one by one we wrote them all down, I suppose even the world could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Acts 2:22, men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Look at that. I put it in purple for you. Here's the word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Not Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Say a man. Well, Jesus did all he did because he's the Son of God. No. Jesus emptied himself of divinity, emptied himself of the privilege of operating out of that privilege. He was anointed and baptized in the Holy Ghost just like any other man. Jesus of Nazareth, that guy who lived, remember Jesus, a guy from Nazareth? He was a carpenter. I mean, we all knew him. He made a yoke for me once. Awesome yokes, by the way. But Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Jesus, the man, signs and wonders were done through him, the man, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:20, and they went out preaching everywhere. This is now the apostles and the disciples, those who got whacked with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. It says, and they went out preaching everywhere, say everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Acts 4:2-3, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against them. Here's Paul ministering and they're preaching in an area and it says the unbelieving Jews came up and caused contention. You ever been in a meeting, the glory of God shown and people show up and say, yeah, that's not God. That's not God. I went to that meeting. That's not God. Were people healed, touched, delivered, set free? Yes, yes, but it wasn't God. It was a weird spirit. says John the Baptist didn't understand the ministry of Christ, and he sent his disciples and said, are you the one? Which is really sad, because he's the one who said, here's the one. I mean, John the Baptist said, here he is. This is it. He's going to baptize the Holy Ghost of power. He's the one. Here he is, everybody. And then later on, he's like, are you really him? That happens. You know, God shows up and people go, is this really it? Because they had this narrow little idea of how it should happen. And sometimes people get offended at how God wants to move and do things. Amen. Since they get all ugly and they come and they cause dissension. So here's what happened here. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brethren. So that happens. I've had people's minds poisoned against me. And who would do such a thing? I'm an awesome guy. One of the most humble people I've ever seen in the mirror this morning. Who does that stuff? But that's what happened to them. But look what they did. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Ha ha! Been here 25 years. Still here. Be back next week. I love that. They had persecution. They had people coming. They had accusations, all this stuff. So they stayed there a long time. Ha ha! Woo! So they stayed there. It's my proof text for what I'm doing with my life. So they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. And he was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Get it? Amen there. Acts 19, 11 and 12, God wrought special. Special is, it's just a little bit above special. Special miracles. He did special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought out to the sick handkerchiefs. Where'd our handkerchiefs go? They got lost. What happened to them? Who stole the handkerchiefs? We usually have a whole basket under there. I'll find them. We'll get them. We put them there so they're soaked with the anointing of preachers and people who've been there. But I mean, we believe that. We've had people take handkerchiefs and things that are stuck in here, and they take them and they sew them into people's pillows and all kinds of stuff. You got a kid who's doing drugs, sew this into his pillow. He'll wake up every day and go, wah, 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 wah. It'll give his life to Jesus and get it all straightened out. Amen? All right. They're only $300 a piece, dude. It's great. All right. Just kidding. They're free. You take them. If I can find them, you can have them. If you find them before me, knock yourself out. All right. Acts 19, special miracles by Paul. So from his body, handkerchiefs, aprons were taken, and diseases were healed. Amen. Romans chapter 15, 18 to 19. In the word and deed, it says, I have given you to make to the Gentiles, make them obedient, mighty signs and wonders. Say in word and deed. The deed got left out somewhere down the road. I mean, we got Father, Son, and Holy Book instead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We like the Father, like the Son, like the book, the Holy Ghost. He's unpredictable. I mean, come on. We had a meeting. We let him run it one time. It was a little weird. Did people get touched and healed? Yes, but it was awkward. Hallelujah. What do you think about a meeting, the first Pentecostal service? Well, we're just waiting here. Jesus told us the Holy Ghost would come, so we're hanging out. Oh, I've been here 10 days. Holy cow. Wonder when he's going to come. I don't know. Oh, could be him. Who's that? Oh, just Peter off to the toilet again. Probably Peter, all those toilet breaks holding up the Holy Ghost. I don't know. Anyways, let's hang out here. Let's wait. Waiting for the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden, a mighty violent wind from heaven came and hit the building. Wind blowing through the place. It looked like tongues of fire landed on each and every one of them. And they all started to speak in tongues. And then they all got so whacked, they stumbled out of the upper room. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, it looked like they were all drunk and intoxicated. Why did they look drunk and intoxicated? Because they looked drunk and intoxicated. I didn't write it. A guy inspired by the Holy Ghost wrote it. If you're offended by it, take it up with him. Yes, Lord. I mean, they all stumbled out, and then everybody went, what is going on? What is this? That was the first Pentecostal service. It was messy. And, you know, the leader had to stand up and say, oh, pardon me, excuse me, everybody. Let me try to explain what's going on here. So let me explain what's happening here. I'll leave. Okay, this is that. You remember when God said he was going to send the Holy Ghost? This is it. Nah, I don't think so. No. Yeah. God said he didn't send the Holy Ghost. This is it. You people are it? Like, this is, yeah. I was kind of thinking it'd look a bit different. Well, this is it. This is Pentecost. It's birth of the church. Here we are. But now Pentecostal services are just way too predictable. Now we're going to do the announcements. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, come along. We've got a Bible study here. You should all be at the Bible study, by the way. Hallelujah. We've got the ladies' Bible study on Thursday morning at 8. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm not messing with anybody. Honestly, I mean, what we do is way too predictable. I reckon if we let the Holy Ghost go, it would be a bit messy. Imagine, well, that was just the first service. It was messy, but then they got it organized. That's probably why it lost power. Well, you know what it says? Decently and in order, Pastor. No, it says, let it all be done. Let it all be done decently and in order. But it says, let it all be done. Let it all be done. No, no, no. We stop things. We don't let it all happen. What is your decently in order? May not be God's, because apparently God's decently in order at Pentecost was a bit messy. Hello! All right. Thank you, Jesus. Just say thank you, Jesus. Just I receive more Jesus. Thank you, thank you. All right. Good, good. All right. Where was I? Does anybody remember? Let's see the screen. Screen says Romans 15. All right. Let me give you another slide, and then I'm going to try and wrap it up. Is that all right? I'm going to do that just because I want to do that, because I want to take some time to just pray, and we're going to minister some miracles today. Would that be all right? Okay. One more slide. Jesus' birth was surrounded by a season of supernatural. Go back to that last one. All right. Jesus' birth was surrounded by a season of supernatural. Who agrees with that? Who doesn't agree? Who doesn't know? Who isn't sure what to do? Who's like, I wish it didn't come today? Jesus' birth was surrounded by a season of supernatural. Angelic things were going on. Signs were happening in other nations. People saw stars. They were traveling. I mean, people were having visions and dreams. Anna, a prophetess. Simeon, a prophet. They're getting signs from God. He's coming. He's about to come. They're there. I mean, they wouldn't leave the temple because they knew he was coming. I mean, there was people. There was all kinds of activity, angelic activity. There was supernatural activity going on all over the place. There was a climate of supernatural expectation. I mean, John's out baptizing millions of people with an expectation there's a Messiah come. Stuff was going on in that whole season. There was supernatural stuff happening. How many know that in that season of supernatural acceleration, whatever it took to get Jesus in here the first time, it'll take to get him back here the next time? You know what? There's supposed to be an acceleration. It says the first coming was the early rain. It says that the last time is the latter rain. And it says you're going to get not only the early rain, but you're going to get the early rain and the latter rain together. You're going to get what they experienced plus more. If I had to explain what the book of Acts was like, it's the early rain. If I had to explain the day that we're in right now, it's the early and the latter rain together. It's a double portion of an acceleration of the supernatural on the body of Christ. If you'd clap and shout, I would talk quieter. It's your fault. Only this time it will not just be in one location or on one person. It'll be all over the place. Not just one person, but the whole church baptized in the shooby jooby juice. Shooby juice. Write that down. Shooby jooby juice. Just look that one up in the Bible. You won't find it. That just means the glory, God's goodness, the anointing, the oil of heaven, the smearing. I happen to call it shooby dooby juice. Don't get offended by that, please. All right? Okay, one more slide and I'm going to quit. Jesus' return will be preceded by a continuous acceleration, a continuous flow of the miraculous. Three areas of increase that you're going to have. You're going to have the Holy Spirit on humanity is increasing. The Holy Spirit on humanity is increasing. The Holy Spirit on humanity is increasing. The Spirit of God is brooding over the body of Christ, brooding over the earth. The Holy Spirit is filling the atmosphere, and he's only activated by your word. As you speak, you call things in. As somebody today tell me, I saw a black wall, and I saw God say restoration, and he said, call it into manifestation. There's things God wants to do today that you get to call in, you get to bring in as the Spirit is brooding. Just like in the beginning when it says the Spirit was brooding, it says then God said, let there be light. There's going to be a supernatural realm developed where you can say, let there be eyes, let there be healing, let there be a leg, let there be a breakthrough, let there be, and the Spirit of God will be activated. Let there be deliverance, let there be freedom, let there be breakthrough, let there be resources. There's going to be a huge acceleration of angelic activity. Have you seen an angel lately? You will. If that was happening when Jesus was born and when he first came in, it's going to accelerate now. You know, because they are those who are helping those who are receiving salvation. Is anyone here inheriting salvation? Well, whether you like it or not, a part of the package is angelic assistance. Jesus had angelic assistance all over the place. Paul had angelic assistance. An angel showed up to Paul, was telling him, yeah, it's going to be a bad storm. The ship's going to get wrecked, but everything's going to be okay. How about we keep the ship okay and just calm the storm? That would be cool. Oh, it's okay. You have a nasty storm. Everybody's going to be right. Everybody be saved through the ship breaking all up. That's not really a good word. I'd rather have the word where the ship will be fine. We'll float in, you know, into dock and nice sunshine. Everything. No, everything's going to fall apart, but you'll all be saved. Okay, well, that's better than everybody dying. I'll take that. You know, I wonder if he could have asked for more. I wonder if he could have said, can we modify that just a little bit? I'll take the everybody lives one. But then when they got to that island, I mean, he put his hand in a bunch of twigs to start a fire, and he got bit by a poisonous snake, and he shook it off. You get bitten by something poisonous. You get bitten, anything tries to get on your body, anything the devil tries to attack you, just shake yourself. I have not got time for this. Ah! And then they said, oh my goodness, he must be a god. I mean, he should have dropped dead with that snake. And then it gave him an opportunity to evangelize the whole island. But he had to go through a shipwreck first. Anyways, look, angelic activity, the manifest glory. You know what's going to increase? The manifest glory. Corporate gatherings are going to just be intense. You're going to get your car in the parking lot. And the cars are not going to be parked between the stripes. They're going to be just, your car will stop and you'll open the door and you'll crawl into the building. You'll walk in, you'll, can an usher take him to a seat? Yes, I'll help you. What's that all about? The glory of God. You know what the glory is? It's kavod. You know what kavod means? Heavy. It says, and the glory will be revealed, and all will see it. And it says, and all will feel it. Pinch yourself. That's a feeling. And I know when the glory comes, it's like something tugs on my cheek. I don't want that. Hallelujah. I'm already feeling awkward. It might be because you're actually a bit awkward. Some people don't need help. But there's good news. You can shake off your awkwardness. It's okay. Quit being so self-possessed. Demon-possessed is one thing. Self-possessed, it's hard. I can cast out a demon, but it's hard casting out you. Come out of yourself. That's what dignified means, self-possessed. I'm too dignified for that kind of a meeting. You need prayer. Humble yourself before he sticks you to a wall. I'm humble. All right, I'm sorry. I got carried away. I have to confess and just put a disclaimer on this sermon. I'm a little whacked. Okay. I mean that with all sincerity. Something in the water. I did take a drink of the river in the middle of the service. And it was really good. It's the river of delights. It's the river of joy. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to lay an egg on the platform? No. A musician. Amen. That would be awesome, though, wouldn't it? I'm not going back there. That was really weird. All right. How many feel a little better than when you came already? three people. That's good. All right. Come on. I'm sorry about that. I went a few minutes longer than I said I would. And actually, I left half the sermon behind already, but that's okay. How many think half the sermon was better than the whole thing today? Okay. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand with me, all right? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, boy. It says when Jesus ministered the word, it says they received the word with gladness. They received the word with gladness. It says in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. There's no hype. I hate hype because hype, the root of hype is deception. You don't have to hype up the river. The river flows. You don't have to push it. You can't force an avalanche down the hill. Here it comes. Here it comes.